Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box, one in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show right here with Nicholas and myself. I said Nicholas because he's an adult. He's a man. So therefore, you put some respect on it. You don't call him Nicky or Timmy. And you know what? Nicholas from Houston or H-Town sounds strong, and it carries some weight. Not Pittsburgh Timmy. I'm Timmy. I'm Pittsburgh. How are you?
Timmy. That's what Tony Parker used to call Duncan all the time. Timmy. Get the ball to Timmy. Get the ball to Timmy.
Oh, Timmy's got some balls, all right. So, one in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show. I referenced the little people that decide to call in to throw shade Thursday, every Thursday, and have...
I heard it. I heard it live.
I have permanent space in their head because I have a beautiful wife on television and I care about dogs. And by the way, Chief, if you go in my closet... I got all the pants. So we started out talking about the fact that our man of a day ago, Ryan Spader, who was the hero we all needed to blow the whistle on Major League Baseball, has now Michael Jackson moonwalked all the way back on everything that he tweeted yesterday. And now we don't know what the hell to believe.
Right.
Then
right.
We got into the positive, the glass half full element of the program, in which the Astros had 6 home runs last night and punished the Rangers to take yet another series on their schedule, sweeping the 2-game set for the golden, silvery, whatever boot. And now we're on to the White Sox. We haven't yet broached the subject of NBA basketball. Oh, Daryl Morey, on line one, I got to believe you got some snow peas wrapped up in those Hanes briefs today, and they got to be shrinking because you're 26-point second half lead with just a few minutes to go in the third quarter equated to another loss, and now you're 1 game from elimination. And Joel Embiid, this is on YouTube.
Oh,
big
dude,
dog.
He played like an absolute baby. And shout out to Playoff P, because the boy, he showed up like he played like a star for a change. And look, it's easier to do that when you have Kawhi out, but
ooh, is it though? Because he's hidden behind Kawhi for quite some time. So if you missed it...
Right, it's easier for him to play better when Kawhi's not on the floor.
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, look at his stat line.
Right, but I think that when teams are focused on Kawhi, he should get more open looks and more abilities to score. With Kawhi out, and
he
again,
should, but
this has
been
a problem league-wide. When you know that the other team has one really, really good player that's going to get his, why you're not double-teaming and putting your best defender on him is beyond me.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. Because you want to wear him out, and you want to—I mean, you can zero in on him, and if there's a situation where the best defender is getting tired, you throw another defender, throw your second best defender, someone who's at least fast enough to keep up. I don't understand that dynamic either. I don't understand that thought process at all. But that's just
the whole ex-Rocket Kevin Martin philosophy's got to be thrown out the window. Kevin Martin, we used to joke about the fact, was absolutely outstanding for the first 3 quarters of the game, and then when it meant the most in the fourth quarter, you couldn't find him.
And he couldn't hit anything.
So this is exactly what we're dealing with the Sixers and Joel Embiid. I mean, in game 4, you blew an 18-point lead. In game 5, you blew a 26-point lead, both in the second half. And now you find yourself down 3-2, going to Atlanta with them with a chance to close it out. Joel Embiid, you said, and your Stephanie Redding, your sideline reporter last night for the national telecast, said, believe me, when Clint Capella said we took advantage of him when he was fatigued and we made sure that he paid, and then she was adamant in saying, from my source within the Sixers, he knows about the quotes. And he said, just wait and watch what he's got for them tonight. Well, the first half, once again, he was really good. And in the second half, once again, he was really bad.
Yeah, and I don't know how far the Sixers... I mean, look, Joel Embiid is obviously the centerpiece of that team, and you need him. But, man, he would fall to the ground. He would look so weak. I felt like he wasn't hustling enough on plays. He looked defeated in the game. I mean, he looked defeated in the game, and I just didn't like that. I mean... And what did he have in the first half? I think it was 17 points. He was a perfect 8 for 8 from the field. And then, I don't know. I mean, it's up to Joel to prevent this team from collapsing the way they did. If you're going to make sure that this team doesn't collapse in the playoffs, you have to be the guy that steps up and make sure it doesn't happen.
Remember what
I said? He didn't seem like he was doing that, though.
But remember what I said to you when he went down? They now have a built-in excuse with that knee. Every time screwed up, he started limping again. But then when he made a bucket, he wasn't limping. And so Daryl is great at protecting his players. He protected Harden in so many ways. But I knew the minute that they started, because when he landed, it didn't look like he did anything to his knee. But all of a sudden, he's got torn meniscus, but he's going to play through it. And I was like, boom, Daryl just created the absolute security blanket for Joel Embiid. Yeah. And now he's using it.
Yeah,
and
he is.
And then... to bitch out on the post-game news conference, that's another issue, okay? We talk about this all the time. And I said I was critical of my own hometown guy in Giannis in being the most overrated superstar right now in the game because of the fact he can't make free throws, he can't make shots at big times, and you can't put the ball in his hands and get buckets unless he's on the block. Embiid's right there with him because for all the MVP votes, for all that he wants and feels like he deserves on both ends of the floor – this is going to be yet another year in the playoffs where when the lights are the brightest, the stage is the biggest, he's got built-in excuses, and he's not stepping up. And then when the ball's in his hands and they need a play, he can't get it done.
Yeah, it's bad. And to your point, you did say he has a built-in excuse. Fourth quarter, only 1 for 5, was limping around in the fourth quarter a lot. That's not a good look if you're a star. And then the other thing, because there's blame to go around here.
Oh, sure there is.
Ben Simmons.
Oh.
You better learn how to hit a free throw, homie. Because this is not a situation where it's a regular season game and you can get away with just scoring points in the paint. You need, I think he missed 10 free throws, if I'm not mistaken.
Giannis Antetokounmpo light, right? Without the MVP titles, but almost the same amount of money, you better do what we said about Giannis a day earlier. Get your ass in the gym all summer. Make a free throw, make a three.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know what? Just make a free throw, okay? I get you're not going to make a three-pointer. But just make a damn free throw. Make more. Shoot over 50%, bro.
But
like,
Nick,
what are you doing?
Do what you do best. At least in Milwaukee, they know Giannis is unstoppable when he gets in the paint. So what do? Put him on the block, get him the ball. Ben Simmons, you know what you do? About the same thing. You pass well, but in fast break situations and when you're in the paint, you score a lot and you have pretty good touch. So get in your paint, get going into fast break situations, get the ball in your hands, and do something.
Yeah. Daryl Morey definitely has a task on hand if he thinks if he's going to make this team a championship team, he's definitely got to make some moves in the offseason. Because even if the Sixers do somehow get past the Hawks, I still don't think they're going anywhere. I'm not concerned about them.
Can I throw one name, Nick, to your point? And this is the point you made adamantly, which was spot on about there's blame to be passed around. There's one you haven't touched on yet, and he didn't put a uniform on last night. And it's not Daryl Morey. This is Doc Rivers' forte. Rivers blows 3-1 leads in the playoffs. Doc Rivers finds ways for completely loaded championship caliber teams to fall short. Yes, he got a title with the Celtics, but the pattern that's more prevalent is how many times he's bowed out way too early and way in ways that never should have happened for teams as talented as he's had. He's on the verge of doing it again.
This is what he sounded like after the game.
Oh, we'll get back up. I mean, we'll be back here for game 7. I believe that, the mood was down. It was awful. What would you think it would be? It would have to be, right? And so this is part of sports. You have some awful moments.
Boy, that was an awful moment, all right. I mean, there was...
What are you supposed to say, though, if you're Doc Rivers? I mean, we could be done. We hope to get back here for game 7. I mean, you got to say that now, but what you should have said during the game itself is tough love. If you want to play and get out there and bust someone's ass and attack the basket, I'll leave you out there.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's bad that the Hawks were able to do what they did. I was going to say, man, the Clippers really missed Lou Williams because he had a good game, but the Clippers ended up winning without Kawhi.
I watched the end of that game. I fell asleep at the end of the Astros game, and then I woke up at the perfect time for the end of the third and the fourth quarter of that basketball game, and I couldn't turn it off. But normally role players step up big at home. But what you've seen, for as much as to the Lou Williams point, as much as the Clippers felt they needed Rondo, they didn't realize they already had the guy that was going to do more. Reggie Jackson has been monstrous. He has been a deciding factor in two Clippers victories. No one would have predicted that before the Caesar series started. And ex-Rocket Marcus Morris, who isn't on our radar of ex-Rockets still in the playoffs that have a chance to piss off some Rockets fans for getting it elsewhere, has played his tail off.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of former Rockets out there. So you've got Lou Williams and Clint Capella on the Hawks. You got Chris Paul doing his thing. Well, hopefully he's going to make it to the Western Conference Finals with the COVID situation. But you got Chris Paul in Phoenix.
Slim Jim in Brooklyn.
You got James Harden in Brooklyn. I mean, like, there's so many good players that were on this squad. And it's just frustrating to watch if you're a Rockets
fan.
Because
the question is, if they never broke them up and they kept the band together, even though they fell short in the missed 27-3 game in the hamstring series.
Yeah.
Would they have been able to do it, giving them a chance, as the Rockets said, run it back? If they ran it back, would they be somewhere?
I think they would have. They would. Look, here's my only issue with it is that the reason why it would have been more difficult, I don't think Clint Capella would have evolved as much as he has right now with the Hawks. I think in that system, he wouldn't have been as good. Now, if you bring Clint Capella back, I think it'd be a little bit different because he's more of an offensive force, and that was a problem with Clint Capella. Now, I'm obviously higher on Clint Capella than most, and I get it.
You obviously are because you just said Clint Capella and a force in terms of offense.
More of a force than what he was in the past. That's not fair to say?
No, I mean, I'm giving you a hard time, but I'm saying Clint Capella, maybe because he's a big man, so he's a little bit stronger, so he goes at whatever he does with force, but as a force offensively, might be a stretch.
Okay. I mean, but more of a force offensively is fair. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is not going to score 25, 30 points every game for you. He's just not going to do that. He'll have a game where he scores 15, 20, 25 points, but it won't be consistent. You know he's going to hit the boards. You know he's going to be a presence on defense. He impacts shots when people penetrate to the basket. He's just not big enough.
Okay, but legit question for you. Do you feel like he was more effective offensively with the Hawks because of what you were saying?
Yeah.
Or with the Rockets?
More effective with the Hawks. He's definitely more effective offensively with
the Hawks. I would disagree and say the Rockets simply because of one factor. Trae Young is an offensive shoot-first point guard. Chris Paul and James Harden's ability to get Capella multiple easy baskets a game on the alley-oop and the high pick and roll meant that, to me, he was getting more points, therefore being more effective offensively, simply because that's a play I think the Hawks should run, and I think that Trae Young should go back and look at tape and go how easy it could be if he's drawing all the attention to just throw it up over the top and get the dunks. But so far, I'm surprised. I haven't seen him do that.
No. And the thing was with Chris Paul and James Harden as a tandem in the backcourt, when you had Clint Capella, they weren't necessarily depending on him for the big shot late. I mean, obviously, they could use him for an alley-oop or off a pick and roll in the fourth quarter and get some points that way. And sometimes that was shut down by teams. Remember that. So that's the reason why I don't know if he could be that offensively progressive had he stayed in a Rockets uniform. But look, I would have rather him stay here in Houston than go to Atlanta. He's just on a different team and he has a different role and it's different. They have a different system. They run. I mean, that offense compared to D'Antoni's offense has to be different. I mean, it just simply is. And look, maybe he does turn out to be that guy. But you're right. There's a lot of former Rockets out there that are on teams, and they're definitely.
And are you pulling for him or are you pulling against him? Because I can kinda, see people pulling, against for the Daryl Morey. I can see pulling against Capella. James Harden. But I think now that the dust is settled, I hope everybody's pulling for Chris Paul.
Yeah, I'm pulling for Phoenix and Atlanta, but I don't think Atlanta's going to go that far either. So
I would agree with that. All right, well, we've got more things to get to. We'll continue to roll on. We kind of recap the Clippers and Jazz as well. Big one tonight in Milwaukee is the Bucks host the Nets. Kyrie still out, I guess. We haven't heard from Woj, so we don't know if James Harden's going to be out, in, possibly in, questionably in, doubtfully in, or just in. But we assume that he will be playing along with Kevin Durant tonight as they go for the series-clinching victory in Beer City. And also, just a brief bit of news in case you didn't hear or might have missed it. Dare I say a Houston legendary saloon and night spot is no more after a fire last night. And if you missed it, I'll tell you exactly. It's right down Nick's alley, but I think it was before Nick decided to start exploring alleys with a certain genre. But we'll get to that and a whole lot more as we continue to roll on the Press Box right here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Press Box. My man Nick and myself, not Nikki, not the Nickster. It's Nick and Joel. Adults talking sports with reasonably minded adults like you guys. And that's what we love doing. So we talked a lot about the Hawks' improbable comeback against the Sixers. You think they're done?
The Sixers? They might be with the way Joel Embiid is playing.
Joel, please, because I'm
Joel. Yeah. Joel Embiid is playing so soft, in my opinion. I still think... Look, I don't know if you're going to be able to get Lou Williams and Trey probably, but Lou Williams and Capella to perform well enough each and every game to take care of the series. But if they play as soft as Joel played yesterday, and you can expect Ben Simmons to continue missing the free throws, which is going to drive me crazy. I don't know, man. It's a really tough decision to make, in my opinion. But I still think the Sixers edge it out.
Joel Embiid. I'm Joel Indeed.
Joel Embiid, you're Joel Indeed.
Indeed I am. That's what I like to say when the three goes up when we're playing ball. My buddies know me as Joel Indeed.
Although we did have a listener who was a big, big fan of yours, and he continued to call in during the show when we were the suspects, and he maintained that your name was Joel and not Joel. Do you remember
who that was?
You know who it is. It was your boy Kurt Lowe.
Oh, Kurt Lowe. Well, of course, where is he now?
Well, when
he was canceled.
Yeah.
I think when you go after the well, and in retrospect, Nick, based on what we've heard about the producers at Ellen, but he did go after the producers at Ellen, and it didn't end well.
And then Ellen ended up being a person that doesn't necessarily treat.
That's what I mean.
So that's crazy to me, though, how that works. But yeah, I guess he had like anti-gag comments, but that's not good when you take it to Twitter. So what happened to the saloon?
So the Firehouse Saloon. At one point. Now, it had been closed down since the pandemic, but it's right there at 59 and the Feeder Road.
Fountain View, I believe.
Fountain View, right? Yeah.
I believe it's Fountain View.
You're
and 59.
Right. You're yeah. right. I used to go there all the time when a lot of people from our office used to go there when I worked for the Rockets. But I know that it was not just a saloon, as it was titled, but it was a popular spot for up-and-coming country artists.
Yeah,
and I
live know music.
Tim McGraw had played there, and a lot of big names had played there. Well, last night at about 2 in the morning... The Firehouse lived up to its name, and it burnt down.
Yeah, apparently it was opened in 1992, and it was owned by a group of firemen, hence the name. But it's been closed since November of 2020. Every time I Googled it, it always said it was temporarily closed. There were some vacant or like abandoned buildings next to it. I think there was one particular warehouse that they were able to save, but apparently a whole bunch of people who were driving next to the location saw a whole bunch of smoke. Called 911, and I don't know how much they were able to salvage, and I don't know, you know, if that person owned the property or if it was leased or, but you're right. Here's some of the members: Miranda Lambert, Toby Keith, Blake Shelton.
Really?
All those names played at the Firehouse Saloon.
I know. I'm almost positive. I've been told by multiple people that Tim McGraw played there at least once.
Probably. I just don't see it in this particular story, but those are the three names that I saw.
I don't know if I'd say a Houston landmark, but it was a staple of the Houston live music scene for a long time. And now, regardless of the reasons why, it's kind of sad because I had also heard there was a possibility it would reopen. And
right, now, that's what I thought, too.
Now, I'm sure there's going to be questions about, was it arson? Did the owners decide to do that?
It was abandoned. I guess it'd be easier to do. I don't know, but... The venue opened in 1992, a space that sprawled over 7,000 square feet.
I definitely don't need your favorite Firehouse moment on this show, as we would do with
I'm
like,
trying to
the
remember if
bars.
I've ever gone, because I don't think I've ever gone to Firehouse.
See, I was going to say, this was before you turned the corner and went into that dark alley of being a country music fan.
Because when did I become a country? I think it was 18.
It was during the
18.
Suspects.
Yeah, it was about 18 or 19.
When you didn't know who Hootie and the Blowfish was, but you knew who Darius Rucker was.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, therefore, I think that this was before your time.
So, what constitutes a landmark? I mean, it was 20 some years,
right? Almost 30 years in operation with a lot of big names that have gone through there. It's like Numbers in Montrose was another concert venue that, whether you think it has to be a statue or a historical venue or otherwise, I think whether it's a historical monument, Numbers is a landmark.
Pretty much. I mean, because that's over four decades, right? You said four. It's not just 20, 30 years. You're talking 40 years.
Numbers is 40 years, I believe.
I would imagine.
Firehouse is almost 30. Was it Rockefeller's Concert Hall on Washington?
You told me about that. I've never been there.
It used to be a lot more popular than it is now. I think it's more they just use it as like a wedding hall and things now. But Rockefeller's, I think, was big. There was a live music spot, right? It's big in Austin, too, that I want to say was right there off of Westheimer, Elgin area by Maine. That used to be a pretty big live. Glenn Davis used to tell me all the time about the live music that was there. But, I mean, I think landmarks, based on years of operation, and especially when you start running through some of the names that you just rattled off, constitute that was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a landmark. I mean, if it's been there for 30 years, I mean, I would, to me, a landmark is when you use it to locate other buildings, right? And that's a landmark, right? Hey, when you exit 59, you'll see this firehouse. That's where,
or it's an attraction, right? If you go to Houston and they say things to do, well, there's NASA if you want to get out of the city and go to, you know, One Direction. Otherwise, is the Be Something Bridge, which again was painted over, by the way, Be Someone Bridge, is that a landmark?
I think it is.
Yeah. Well, someone said R.I.P. Fitzgerald, so I guess that was another one that's no longer, but Fitzgerald's was another big one.
Magnolia Ballroom, did you mention that?
Maybe Fitzgerald's was the one I was talking about near Midtown?
Yeah, because they're mentioning it in the Twitch, so it might be.
Okay. No more Firehouse, R.I.P. And evidently, if you were owned by firefighters, you would think that you'd get some special attention from the fire department to maybe put it out in time.
And not only that, but because we pass the fire department every time I do, at least, to get to the station. I'm assuming
Good
it's
point.
That fire station that's
You're
the
right.
one that was required to...
Right down Chimney Rock.
Go to Fountain View and put that out.
Oh, you know what, Nick? Maybe, just maybe, there wasn't friendly relations between the firemen at the firehouse.
I don't think that's the case.
And the firemen at the firehouse, if you know what I'm saying. All right, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show on the agenda. Lots more to get to. It always includes you guys, the boxers. We look forward to it. You should, too. Back in just mere minutes on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Thank you, one and all. It was the Continental Club that I have been told is still open but has moved down Main Street maybe a little. But I knew that Glenn Davis used to always tell me that if you want to see great live music, you go to the Continental Club, which was right there, I think, Maine and Elgin.
Okay.
So,
I don't really, I don't think I can relate.
Well, but...
And it's still open, though, right?
Yeah, and I totally understand that for you, because it's just, you know...
Because I wasn't old enough to drink.
Well, we also talked about the life expectancy of bars in Houston. And
oh, yeah, that's so
in
true.
A lot of cases, it's 8 months to a year if you're lucky. And then you get the mainstays that really carve out a niche or niche. Which
like,
is
it's
not-
hard to find, like, a Numbers that stays. Like, Roxy had a massive run for, like, 30 years. Last Concert Cafe, someone who just, Dick Willie, who mentioned it in the Twitch, that's been around forever. I mean,
someone mentioned Scott, because I mentioned it a few weeks ago. Scott Gertner's Sky Bar in Montrose was at the top of the skyscraper, but I think it was like
a
12-story building.
I've been to Sky
yeah.
Bar.
Yeah. And it used to be a sweet spot just because of the fact that view alone and that outdoor patio was badass.
Correct.
But I believe that's completely closed. I don't think there's even a bar up there now.
I don't even know. I haven't been. I'm getting older now, bro. I'm not. You just think I'm just going out drinking all the time? Like, what do you?
Because you're not drinking brown liquor doesn't mean that it's changed your pattern.
Try two different types of tequila yesterday.
Yeah.
Feel fantastic this morning, by the way.
How much of it, though?
A lot.
I was going to, okay.
A lot. So I took shots of it, and I made margaritas with it.
Oh, yes, you did.
I tried Dwayne Johnson's tequila yesterday.
So you got your rocks off.
I got my rocks off.
Because it's rocks tequila.
Indeed. I got my rocks off.
And you were pleased with it.
I was.
It felt good.
Yeah. And I have a, I went to go to the melatonin section. I got myself the HEB version of it. By the way, they work fantastic. Although I did look in the back and they said you can't give this to anybody below the age of 16. You have to get like the kids version. So I could, I looked for the kids version.
Listen, you owe my daughter some.
I got two packs, two bags.
You owe her.
Of Sour Patch
Sour
Kids.
Sour Patch
I got them.
Don't include melatonin in them.
No, I won't, but I'll get the kids version so you and Lisa can try it.
Doubtful.
Why not? It's either that or NyQuil. Those are the only two things that knock out kids when you want to put them, like when you want them to go to sleep, it's either NyQuil or melatonin. That's what people do these days. Now, people listening are going to kill me for saying the word NyQuil, but the kids' melatonin, that's supposed to work. You heard the guy who called in has four kids.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
He uses it.
And I'm not going to be Kendrick Perkins, and I'm not going to be Jay Will.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you, someone that I know well, that a lot of people know their name, used to swear, you don't need melatonin, you don't need NyQuil, all you need is your hand in about 5 minutes, and you're guaranteed to sleep well, no matter how much you've drank.
Oh, okay. I have an idea who said that, but I'm not going to mention the person.
No, me either, because there's several that could be guilty as charged.
Exactly, 100%.
But one was absolutely adamant that the best sleep aid in the world was just loving yourself.
I'm going to disagree with that.
What about love the one you're with? You don't disagree with that. You don't sleep well after, whether she faked it or not, you execute the master plan.
No, that's different, but doing it to yourself, that's different. Like, I can understand whether you get the job done or not. It doesn't really matter. You put in the work. Like, I'm tired after I'm tired. I don't know about you, but I'm tired. It's not like I can go 18 rounds.
So a little something for the effort is never a problem with you, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. Crystal's like, I got a good ass whooping, slept like a baby. That's not exactly what I was talking about, but okay.
Dick Willie says marijuana works way better than melatonin. That's probably because you're old, Dick Willie.
Ooh, boy.
Sorry, buddy. Doesn't necessarily work all the time. Joel tells me.
And I got to believe that in Dick Willie's case, he probably is dealing with something other than you because he isn't allergic or banning brown liquor. Therefore, he's Whiskey Dick Willie. And therefore, the weed helps. Just throwing it out there for the peeps. All right, second half of the program as we continue to roll on. Astros tonight open up a four-game series with Jose Urquidy on the hill as they take on the White Sox, another good team in Major League Baseball that hopefully the Astros will stand up to and play well against. So that's interesting to take a look at there. Our good friend yesterday has become a disappointment today, Ryan Spader, the guy that was blowing the whistle on all of the sign-stealing scandal and the fact that all these other teams were doing it and was so hot on Twitter, so much so that he set up a world tour of radio interviews, including our very own The Bench this morning, so he could continue to get the word out and be the hero that everybody needed, has now become Michael Jackson minus the glove or the throwing arm, and has decided to say, I take it all back, it's not credible, and I should have never done this.
This is what he sounded like before he retracted his statements.
I don't really care if... And, you know, he's a great dude, Jeff Passan. Great, great guy. Very good dude. But I don't care if he's pissed off at me. I don't care if Rob Manfred's pissed off at me. It doesn't really matter that much to, you know, to my day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, I was maybe a little bit more willing to come forward with some of the information that, you know, that I shared.
Such a disappointment on so many levels, Nick.
Yep. He said he takes back basically everything that he said in a tweet. He said those allegations were unfounded in the tweet. He said this has turned his life upside down. And he said stick to stats, which Charlie Polillo probably agrees with that 110%. You know, Charlie Polillo wouldn't have done that to baseball.
Charlie
Polillo. He loves baseball. He's not going to out baseball. He ain't snitching on baseball.
he's like Jeff Passan Sr. because he is so disgusted by this story and the fact that it could put a black eye on his favorite sport that he wouldn't touch it. It's not his game. It's not his
shit. Well, now he will probably bring it up tomorrow.
Oh, sure. Now he'll kill the guy.
And poop all over him.
No question about it. Boy. Did you see this, by the way, that we were talking about NBA? That Luka Doncic, we mentioned yesterday that Donnie Nelson got fired after 24 years as the president and general manager of the Mavs. He drafted Luka. Luka's not happy.
Well, I mean, I would imagine he's not. I mean, he probably liked him as the general manager.
Because of it, he said it's been a hard pill to swallow, and it could affect how he goes long-term with the Mavs. If you're Mark Cuban, no matter how much you're enamored with some previous gambler.
Okay. But, okay.
You got to play the game right now.
How many games have you played in the NBA, Luka? Look, you're great. You might be an all-time great. You might go down as one of the best players ever. Look, that's fine. But how many games have you played in the NBA? It's like the Zion Williamson. Did you see the story on Zion? Apparently, their family is not happy with the team, and they think he should look elsewhere. Well, settle down. The guy's played, what, a year and a half?
Well, but although... 2 years? 3 years. And he's had three coaches in 3 years.
Okay.
Sam Darnold, ring a bell?
Fine. But you, how many games have you played in the NBA? And you're already talking about how you're unhappy with the team's moves. Like, and remember, Zion said a few months ago that he's like, man, of course I want to play in, you know, for the Pelicans. But if I had to choose, I really like playing in Madison Square Garden. I've played in Madison Square Garden during my career before the NBA. And I really like playing Madison Square Garden. Now you've got that. Now you've got Luka upset. And between the two, I don't think both of them have more than 4 years worth of games or 5 years worth of games. How long has Luka been in the league? Because remember, that year, there was a year with Zion was hurt.
The same amount of time. He's up 3 or 4 years.
I just think it's way too early. As good as they are to start making.
But Nick, here's the opposite side of that, right? So if you're a great player or you're billed as being the next great player, you want to feel comfortable. It's like we always say in the NFL that it takes almost a full year for a quarterback to change systems to be able to pick up the system and then be able to run it efficiently enough to win ball games and be effective. From a basketball perspective, the last thing you want is to get a kid, especially because he came out early, that's raw, that's not as mature as he will be someday, that has a ton of talent, but run one system one way for one coach, and you start feeling better about it in the offseason. You get ready for year two, and they go, no, he's gone. Now you got to go and run it with this guy. From the minute they hired Stan Van Gundy, I didn't understand it because he's old school. He's like his brother. He's more of a dictator. And they had a completely young roster that needed kind of a more modern coach. And I didn't get it. Now, the biggest mistake is you paid him multiple years and a whole lot of money. Now he's walking away after one. But hopefully this time they get it right because Zion deserves it.
Well, Luka got into the league a year before Zion did. He got into the league in 2019, the 18-19 season to be specific. He has played 199 games total. Zion Williamson, a total of 85 games in total. And they are already showing that they're upset. Now, the Luka situation sounds like he's just, you know, I guess he's voicing his opinion after they fire the guy, the general manager, Donnie Nelson. Zion, I mean, I felt like there have been rumblings or it's always been like that. And I said this multiple times about the Pelicans. Watch the Zion situation be very similar to Anthony Davis. Watch it. After that first contract expires,
yep.
He's going to leave. He's not going to play. Sorry, Clarence. I know you're a Pelicans fan. I don't think he's going to stay there. Once that contract expires, he's leaving.
Well, and again, that kind of parlays back into some of our other topics over the last couple of weeks, Nick, whether it be Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, or it translates to other sports with other players, like the James Harden situation leading to other players believing they too, regardless of how long their contract has left on it, can dictate getting out. And Zion, I'm sure, pays attention and watches other sports and sees big names and goes, I can do that too. I can do it one of two ways. Much like some of the other guys have done, including Deshaun, you never heard it from me. You're going to hear from my agent. You're going to hear from other people that know me. You're going to hear from sources. Or you're going to hear from eventually Russell Wilson. Or you're going to eventually hear from James Harden. And they come right out and say, if we're not in the running for a title, I want out. regardless of how you choose to do it, it's been effective for the majority of the people that I've mentioned so far. So therefore, he probably thinks to himself, why not me now? Why not, like you mentioned, Anthony Davis did it right here in this very situation. I can do it too.
Yeah. And look, Luka, be honest. I mean, you haven't been in the league long enough to really tell what is the right general manager for your career.
But Nicholas, if you know as well as I do, if I said, who is the current and the future of the Dallas Mavericks?
It's Luka.
It's Luka and nobody else.
Agreed.
And not even close. So just like we said, you don't have to listen to everything that they say and do it, but you have to listen enough to say, did you like him? Who would you like to get in his replacement? What are you thinking? Because we'd like to know. Now, that's also a very key element in a lot of the situations we just mentioned. If Mark Cuban's smart and he realizes these guys don't come along all the time, you probably want to cater to him a little bit more.
And look, I think Cuban understands that dynamic. He's not stupid. But he does have an interesting way when it comes down to approaching business. So maybe he does kind of want to send a statement to Luka. This is my team. I'm the billionaire.
And guess what? Then he's leaving. If you go play hardball, he's leaving. What? Is it really that hard before you fire Donnie Nelson to go, hey, Luka, I know you like this guy. You don't even know what's been going on behind the scenes, but he's had some issues.
I bet you, though, with that situation, I don't know this for a fact because I didn't do enough reading on it, but that could have been a spontaneous decision on Cuban because the specific reason...
I think you're probably right.
The specific reason why he was upset was that other guy was circumventing him and he was going to Mark Cuban behind his back. Usually when that leads to blow-ups that eventually lead to spontaneous fires. Now, I don't know if that's the case, but when you circumvent a higher-up and a basketball team like that, that's going to bother anybody.
But even if you knew you were going to do it, before you did it, even if it's 5 minutes before you do it, call Luka and go, hey, I know you got a lot going on. I don't want to bother you with this, but I needed you to know this before you heard it from the public or saw it on social media. It would go a long way with the player.
Do whatever he likes.
That's exactly what it's come down to, my friend. All right, we've got one segment to go in the second hour, but another hour after that. So we'll take you all the way up till 4 o'clock. Then the Blitz takes over from there. Stay tuned right where you got it. ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
Is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Nick.
Yes, sir.
Vince Wilfork. Ring a bell?
I does. He used to be a Texan.
He did. And before that, a Patriot, where he won Super Bowls. And with Super Bowls, you get rings. Well, if the rings are going to be a thing, Nick, just let this be a lesson to you. Don't let your 23-year-old son hang around with your jewelry box.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
What'd he do?
His son stole $300,000 worth of jewelry, including two of his Super Bowl rings. And then proceeded to sell them. And thanks to a Patriot chat room who got wind of it and told Vince, he was able to not only get the authorities involved, but get the rings back and then file charges against his own son.
Oh, my God. Kids are the worst.
How messy is that, by the way?
Kids are the worst. They're the worst. How old is this kid, by the way?
23.
My God, kids are the worst.
23-year-old son. You don't think those things are going to be noticed when they go missing, right?
No, never.
Nah.
No, he wouldn't know where he put his Super Bowl rings with the Patriots. Of course not. No, he wouldn't. He never played with Tom Brady or did
Teddy,
anything.
What's his name? Ted Johnson. What do they call him? Called him like Teddy Three Rings. And then, no, maybe, no, I think he still had his, Vrabel. When Vrabel was a Texans coach, he was living in like West U or Bel Air. Someone broke into his pad and took all his Patriots rings. See, those things are tarnished. You don't. They're bad luck. That is bad with Patriots stuff.
Yeah. So which Super Bowl rings are we talking about?
I just know two of his Super Bowl rings were part of the $300,000 in jewelry that his son pilfered from him and then decided to resell. And of the $300,000 in jewelry that wasn't the two Super Bowl rings, he got about $5,000 for it. So, like, evidently, if you're the buyer, you're going, well, this is quite a deal. I'll probably be in on this, not knowing if it's stolen or not. But you got to kind of scratch your temple and go, I'm getting all this very highly rated jewelry at this low price. I wonder what's going on here.
Police also, so police made contact with the individual who posted the rings on the memorabilia group. The individual told police he purchased them from Wilfork's son for $62,000 in 2020. The rings have been since turned over, like you said. And then police also discovered that 8 other pieces of Wilfork's jewelry were also sold in March of 2020 for $4,600. God, kids are terrible. Kids are just terrible. Don't ever have kids.
Well, it's too late for that. And that's why Pittsburgh Timmy, when you say grow a pair, well, I've not only grown them, but I've used them to my advantage. I have 2 children.
When you just have to watch if Taylor doesn't, you know, order like SpongeBob, like 20,000 SpongeBob toys like the other kid did through the iPad. That's what
was
you
got
to
wear.
Was
that the kid that did he all popsicles too?
It was like popsicles. It was something SpongeBob theme, and it was several thousand dollars.
Here's what I don't understand either, Nicholas. I don't understand how parents can't have a little bit more control and also monitor their own credit cards and spending so that you get alerts when large sums of money. Now, I get it. Wilfork's situation is a little different because that's probably just a straight cash deal, and that's completely under the radar, and that's tougher to find. But in regards to what you were referring to with the children that get on the iPads and know that everything's already entered in there and we can just point, click, and shoot and start ordering stuff.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, to make it worse, because that kid was in I think he was in New Jersey. He was on the East Coast. On top of that, they started a GoFundMe account so that that they could bail the parents out. No, you're bad parenting.
No, you got pay the bills.
You live with that. That's your fault.
And ground your child for life.
That's the price you pay for not keeping more of an eye on your kid.
I mean, I figured the easy way to do that, and I'm not a parent, so I don't have to worry about it. But usually when I have to make a purchase, like on my iPhone or my iPad, the thumbprint technology. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your daughter is not going to have the same thumb or fingerprint as yours. So if you want to purchase anything, just make sure it goes through that fingerprint.
You get an email when
once that email is done, that means the purchase has been made.
But it's still not too late to reverse it. You know as well as I do, when you buy something with a credit card, you have a certain amount of time before that goes through processing and shipping and all the other stuff from certain companies. And now, if it's like Candy Crush or something and you're getting something for a video game, it might be a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
That might be different.
Yeah, because you're paying something that you can't touch. It's not tangible.
But again, if your credit card gives you a little ding on your phone and says, like the commercials always state, are you aware you just spent $395 on candy canes on Candy Crush? You might go, no, I didn't, because that's not me.
Well, see, the big thing is kids playing video games, they have like skins that they buy. Like when they're fighting, they call them skins. And it's like you're just using a different color look to the player that you're using on the video game. And you're paying money and you're changing it frequently, which I never understood. But that's the era that we live in. So just imagine maybe you're just on a video game and you're just on your Xbox account or your PlayStation account and you're just dropping thousands of dollars on stuff that you'll never get back or see or touch.
So on the subject of people being, and I like the compassion and the caring of people that wanted to step in certain situations when people have gone through hard times. I'm not sure my child spending tens of thousands of dollars on popsicles.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Is something that I want to go and like walk back.
So how would you handle that situation if Taylor did that?
Oh, we'd have a heck of a talk.
I mean, a talk? What is a talk going
to
do?
Well, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to call whatever company it is. I'm going to try and cancel it and do whatever I can do to make sure that if there's any way possible to stop
100%. You try to get your money back first. But how do you discipline your child?
Well, we're having a talk and we're starting to take things away. And we're also starting to realize, like the one thing I always say is she's got a little change purse that has a bunch of change in it. But when she starts getting demanding in the back seat about, Daddy, I want this, Daddy, I want that, and I go, are you paying for it? And then she's like, if she gets smart and says yes, I go, where's your change purse? Because I'm going to need all of it. And then she starts almost tearing up because she knows how much she loves having some change in that purse. Then she starts realizing Mommy and Daddy do have to work very hard to get the money that it takes to pay for what stuff we do get you. So you don't get to make choices like that. That's how we deal with that.
Okay.
Here's where I was going with this, though, Nick. Real quick. You do GoFundMes for people that have hard times. Maybe they lost everything in a fire. Not kids that buy 20,000 popsicles. Okay? Nor do you come to the relief and rescue of a husband and wife that gave birth to 10 babies at the same time until you A, see the babies, and B, see the woman that delivered them. We'll talk about that next, because that's a problem. Back with more on the final hour of the program. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.